Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart, now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I have my own startups and podcasts.
Are you one of the 2 in 5 Americans wanting to start your own business or already a business owner? Stay tuned. This show is about starting and growing your business. Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we learn why and how ordinary people just like you started and grew their businesses, and we also talk about the intellectual property that helps protect your innovations. And so now it is time for our featured guest, Justin Cook, co-founder of Empire Flippers and WebStreet. So, Justin, tell us a little bit more about Empire Flippers.
My business partner and I were working mid-level managers in the U.S. and at an SEO company where they do backlinks and stuff for local companies. So if you're a plumber and you want to get seen on Google, they would help you do that. And we had a real need to like hire people cheaply. And so we had a previous connection in the Philippines. We said, look, why don't we hire some people in the Philippines? So we started this remote hiring process of hiring, you know, 7-8 people in the Philippines, to the point where we said, look, we need to go over there and kind of see what's going on. So my business partner, my future business partner, I fly out to the Philippines and we go to this girl's house and we realize she's got like 6 other people working in her like, you know, second room, third room. They're at like plastic tables with like air conditioned and plastic chairs. And we're like, oh my God, we're running a sweatshop. Like, what are we like literally running a sweatshop out of the Philippines? We're like, we need to fix this. So we like set up an office. We convince our bosses to let us start this company so we can move to the Philippines. We move there and we set up our first company. We have an office. We're now in the Philippines. We're totally remote entrepreneurs and we start building a company. And, you know, within 6 months, our previous employer starts cutting our finances. So they cut to half and then another half. And so we're like, oh my God, we're going to go broke in the Philippines. This is not a place to be broke. We looked up online and there's, you can create these little niche website. So I'll give you an example. Cemeteryprices.net, right, was one of our sites. Another one was like catconstipation.org, right? Just little niche topics. I didn't even know this, but cat constipation is a real problem.
You should come on my cat podcast. I have a podcast for cats with Danielle Woolley. You should come on that and talk about cat.
It's a real issue, apparently. I didn't know. I'm not a cat. I'm a dog guy, right? So we find these little niche topics and we started just building content around it. All these niche subjects that people search for, well, Google has a program called AdSense, right? And so you create the content and you put the AdSense blocks on your website and you just put it, it's a little bit of code you snip in there. And then Google will automatically deliver advertisers that's relevant to either the topic or the individual user that goes there. So they may see something about like a cemetery if it's on the cremation prices, or they may see like the last ceiling fan they search for on Amazon. So it helps, you know, earn revenue and then they pay you money for those. And so we built these sites, started making money. We realized people want to buy these sites. They're like little assets, right? So you have a little site making $100 a month. It's only $100 a month. But someone's willing to pay $2,000, $2,500, $3,000 for this $100 a month website. And so we realized that these are profitable assets that are sellable. So we started creating them in batches, right? A dozen a week, started creating them. It takes about 3 months to percolate and then we would sell them. And so we became these guys, the AdSense Flippers was our original name.
So how did you figure out what topics would be good candidates for this kind of business?
So that's really important. The first couple of niches we selected were interesting topics we could write content about, but weren't well searched, right? So there wasn't a ton of people searching Google for the key term. So I put it in, I was like, oh, this is a cool niche. And it gets like 70 searches a month. But you generally wanted 2,000 to 3,000 searches per month on the keyword or better. And if there's that much interest, then you're gonna get some traffic if you can get ranked. There were keyword research tools out there to help you. They would tell you exactly how many searches keyword would get per month. And then kind of the difficulty based on the sites that are there on how hard it is to get ranked. And we choose ones with a low to moderate search volume and a moderate to low difficulty.
So you took that business model and you expanded it to look for, actively look for people that want to sell their tech companies. Is that what you did?
Yeah. So we talked about how we built this very publicly. And that wasn't a public thing at the time. We said, here's our exact process. Step one, step two, step three. A lot of people would charge you for that information. And we were like, we'll just give it away for free. And that got us attention, which is valuable, but it also got a lot of other people building these sites as well. So they would do their own approach and figure out ways to build them up. And they asked to sell with us because we had an audience now of people wanting to buy these little sites. And we said, no way, we're not having you sell with us, because that's how we make our money, is building these sites and selling them. Eventually, we smarted onto the idea that, oh my God, we can make a lot more money having everyone bring us their sites.
Right.
I admit to being not the smartest entrepreneur. And most of the good ideas come from customers beating my head in with it. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't listen to them and I ignore them and I have ego. And then they're like, no, dummy, here's how I want to send you money. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, eventually we're like, okay, we can make money at this. Okay. So we let other people sell their sites to our audience. And that's when it really started to blow up. And we went from, you know, a couple of guys in the Philippines scratching out some little websites to now we sold just over $490 million worth of websites and online businesses.
Wow, that's amazing. So who are the buyers for these websites?
Yeah. Initially, we start off with very small sites. We've gotten to the point where we're selling much larger businesses, SaaS, software as a service companies, and large e-commerce, Amazon FBA businesses. But initially, the small little sites, the cat conservation type sites, were just online aspiring entrepreneurs wanting to know, is this internet money real? Like, you know what I mean? Like, can you really make money, 100, 200, 300 bucks a month with these little websites? I want to buy it and see before I get into it all. Right, so they'd buy a site from us and their earnings would start to hit their account. They'd pay $3,000-$4,000 for a $100 a month earner. And they'd start to get the earnings. And they're like, oh, maybe, you know, the internet money is real. Maybe it's not just all fake, right? Maybe this is something I can do. And so it was people just aspirational at first. Later on, a whole nother group got into it, like private equity and all the bigger buyers. But initially, it was just like kind of like, you know, wannabe entrepreneurs testing the waters.
That's really interesting. So how exactly does the Google AdSense part of that work?
With online businesses, there's lots of different monetizations. Google AdSense is one. They call it display advertising. And Google AdSense is one version of display advertising. So if you have your website, whether it's, you know, WordPress or however you set up the site, there's lots of different places you can go. And you write the content, you can put a snippet of code in the middle of the content, above the content, below the content, and that will create an ad block. And you see those, sometimes you're annoyed by them when you're surfing the web, but you get an ad block. And ideally, it's gonna be very relevant to the content you have or relevant to the person viewing the content. So I said before, like if it's about cat constipation, it'll be like cat products and treats and toys. Or it might be something that I searched for yesterday, right? I searched for a new lawnmower. I'll see like cat toys and then like a lawnmower, because Google knows all basically, and they know that I want a lawnmower, right?
Yeah, they know stuff about you that you've never even that you never even thought you told
It's them. Creepy. It's getting creepy, right?
It is.
I would say display ads are kind of the lowest form of monetization for websites. So typically, if you're building a website for yourself or your own business, you're way better off advertising your own products or services than other people's. Display ads is a particular business model where you're just creating the content to put ads up. But if you're building a website for a business, putting ads on there and getting, you know, 80 bucks a month trickling in or something isn't worth it. Only if the site is really popular will you make a lot of money, which can happen. But for a business website, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
So for entrepreneurs who are just starting out and they're in the process of building a website now, or they're thinking about a website, do you have any advice to offer them so that they get the most traction possible?
It depends on what kind of website they're building, right? So, and what kind of business they're building. So if they're building a site just for display ads, just to put content up to make money with that, I mean, following our process, there's other people like nichepursuits.com, empireflippers.com. You can go to any of those sites and it'll explain that. But if you're building a service business or something, you're going to build it differently, right? You're going to want to get attention. You want to draw attraction through like social media and shorts and reels and all that stuff. But I was like held back because it's been so long since I've personally built a website. So I can struggle with your listeners right now who are thinking about building a site. They're like, where do I go? What kind of content do I get? How do I set up the thing to like collect the emails? And what kind of like CRM do I use in the background? How do I, right? That's just not my thing. That sounds sounds frightening and miserable. Makes me not want to do a podcast. I don't even want to do it now, right? And my mastermind was like, look, you don't need any of that to put a podcast out. You need a YouTube account. You need some like silly logo and you need content. Like, you don't need the other stuff, man. Just put it out. Get the content out.
So, Justin, what was it like working during the pandemic? You had this business. You spent a lot of time growing it during the pandemic. What was that all about?
Well, first off, I'll say that our company is completely remote. So as of 2011, just about a year after starting, we went completely remote. And it was, we were forced to, because business was bad enough. We had to shut down our office in the Philippines. Everyone had to go work from home. And it was depressing because I felt like, oh my God, we're not a real company anymore. We don't have an office, right? It turned out to be fantastic because we were remote before any of this pandemic stuff started. So everyone on our team, we've got Americans living in Prague, Medellin. We got a British guy living in Manila. So we got people all over the world. And this is pre-pandemic. So 2019, that was our setup. We were in great shape, I guess, for a worldwide shutdown in that we were all living and working remotely already. Now, the weird thing is that with everyone kind of shut down, there was a huge focus on online business. So our business boomed.
You guys did do a fair amount of bootstrapping on your business, right?
Yeah. So I'm an advocate of bootstrapping, if at all possible, right? And what bootstrapping means is just using your own funds, using your own kind of chutzpah, using your own blood, sweat, and tears to build your business. And what this does is it teaches you to be lean and mean. Right? You don't have other people's money, right? To be able to, oh, I'm going to put together a big marketing budget. I'm going to set up my Seychelles account and my Hong Kong bank accounts. And like, so many people get caught up on the kind of like stuff around, oh, what's my legal requirement or whatever, where you just need to hustle. You need to get out there and start like talking to customers and see if they're willing to pay you money for your product. And if not, fix it. And the best way to do that is bootstrapping. Now, not every company can be bootstrapped. Because there are some companies where there's a run-up that is so intense that there's no way you can compete without other people's money. AI is a really good example of that right now, right? Like I can't just like, you know, sit in our townhouse in the Philippines and kind of bang out the work on my AI company. It's very, very difficult to do because of the money and the compute required to build like a large AI model. So not every model is built for bootstrapping, but I highly recommend it, particularly if it's your first round or your first shot at entrepreneurship, do it with the blood, sweat, and tears. You're going to run it lean.
Justin Cook, co-founder of Empire Flippers. You're listening to Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gerhart. We'll be back right after this commercial, and stay tuned. We have Secrets of the Entrepreneurial Mind coming up later in the show. Don't want to miss that.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
858-988-7477. 858-988-7477. 858-988-7477. That's 858-988-7477.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now, I mean right now, to learn more.
800-917-8546. 800-917-8546. 800-917-8546. That's 800-917-8546.
Now back to Passage to Profit. Once again, Richard and Elizabeth Gerhart.
And our special guest, Justin Cook. We've just had a fascinating discussion with Justin, and we're going to keep it going now So there was a question from somebody else. Do you deal with any businesses that have physical inventory?
Yeah, there's a number of different types of businesses that carry physical inventory. DTC businesses, it's called direct to consumer, where you're selling, you know, e-commerce product to your website. Amazon FBA, or fulfillment by Amazon, which you have, you know, a physical product where you hold inventory with Amazon, and, you know, hybrids of those, right? So yes, we sell those businesses regularly. What we don't sell, like, kind of like the limit on what we'll sell, is any property that requires a local physical requirement to be there. So our buyers are worldwide, right? So I might have a buyer for your business in Tulsa. The buyer might be in Hong Kong, buyer might be in San Francisco. So them flying to Louisiana, for example, just an example, to like run the business is probably a no-go for most buyers. So it really doesn't work with our model. So our model just requires them to be able to live and work anywhere. So in many cases, they ship the inventory to a third party, that third party does fulfillment. Any business like that, we can absolutely sell. The misconceptions my business partner and I both had early in our entrepreneurial careers that, you know, when we shut down our office in the Philippines, I just felt like a loser. Because in my view, in my head, I was like, you need an office, you need desks, an address, and that's really important to be a real company. Otherwise, what are you? Like, it's, you're not a real business. Yeah, I mean, I think getting over our own thoughts on what we thought a real business was a good learning experience for us.
I hadn't realized for a long time that there are some companies that survive solely on investor funds for years and years and years. I always thought a successful business was more revenue than expenses, but that's not really true, right? I don't know. How long have some of these companies been going where they're just living off investors?
Well, that was cute in like 2019, 2020, 2021, right? With the run-up and all the money floating around. When it comes to harder times, that's when those companies go away. They don't do quite as well because investors pucker up and they're like, I'm not putting money in businesses that don't have an interest in delivering a profit. The goal of the business should be to drive revenue and eventually get margins that deliver a profit to you or your investors.
I'd heard that like Angie's List didn't make a profit for a long time, but you wouldn't touch a company now that didn't have some sort of profit.
I mean, that's true. So it's a requirement to sell on Empire Flippers. We're going to do it as a multiple of profit or seller's discretionary earnings, SDE. So basically, if a business is doing, you know, let's say $100,000 a year in profit, if you have recurring revenue, that improves your multiple. Less clients, no recurring, that's going to lower your multiple. So somewhere between, let's say, 2 to 6 times your annual net profit is what you're going to sell for. So if you have no profit, you're just not sellable to like most of the investors on our platform and people that are looking to buy online businesses.
Justin Cook, co-founder of Empire Flippers. Where can people reach you, Justin, if they want to sell a business or contact you for some other reason?
Empireflippers.com is our brokerage account. If you want to find out more about the investing side, which we're going to talk about, but you can go to webstreet.co and you can figure out how to invest in successful operators that are buying businesses like we talked about.
Well, thank you very much for that. It's been amazing. Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 31 markets across the United States. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinators Alicia Morrissey and Rissikat Busari. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.